Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri, inviting you to discover what research, projects and events are taking place at the University of Malta. For this latest program in the mini-series on the Faculty of Arts on University Matters here at Campus FM, I have with me today two guests, Dr. Bernard Mikalev, who is a senior lecturer and head of Department of Maltese within the Faculty of Arts, and Professor Joseph Aynor, who is head of the Department of Translation, Terminology and Interpreting Studies, both obviously within the Faculty of Arts. Welcome to you both. I'm going to leave the floor, so to speak, to my guests because they don't have a lot of time to talk about two important departments. So I'll turn immediately, without further ado, to Dr. Mikalev. The Department of Maltese has been a department for many years, and within it there have been some very eminent Maltese scholars. Perhaps you could give us a little background to the department and tell us how it's doing today in 2014.
Hi, Tricia. Yes, thanks for inviting me on this interesting program. As you say, the Department of Maltese is one of the largest departments in the Faculty of Arts, and it has some eminent members, such as Professor Oliver Frigeri, who needs no introduction, obviously, and Professor Manuel Mifsud, Professor Albert Borch. Those are the more veteran and scholarly, well-established members of the department. It is a department with a huge intake of students each year. Well, we get between 50 and 60, sometimes even more students applying for our BA course. And besides, it is a department that is steadily becoming a point of reference even beyond the university. Its BA course, running to 3 years, is mainly divided into the linguistics area and literature, with other study units focusing on orthography and skills in writing, creative writing as well. Now we're into that as well. So it's a constantly expanding department in terms of academic reach and interests. Also, it is a department that has an interesting MA by research course. And again, in that area, we have a good number of students who complete their research successfully. At one point, about 2 years back, the number of our MA students almost reached the number of our BA students.
Wow, that's incredible.
So, yeah, it is incredible. It was incredible even for ourselves, but it's a fact. Well, most of the students successfully finished their MA by research. And we do get even interesting candidates, prominent candidates for our PhD program, such as Emmanuel Mifsud, who lately successfully completed his PhD studies and graduated in this very interesting research on bodily representations in Maltese literature. And the corporeal aspect of it was pretty novel in our approaches to literature, because it's a perspective that's rarely been treated in Maltese critical studies. But apart from all this, our department is collaborating with a number of entities and institutes and faculties in its academic activities, not just within its program of studies, but also beyond that. For instance, we invite a number of distinguished guests from abroad each year. At one time we had Dr. Mohamed Omar Saleh from the University of Oxford, Mora Dieles from Paris. We do invite as well prominent writers and even Australian Maltese writers such as Lou Drovnik, which gave a very interesting talk last year. And these are monthly activities. So it's not just a one-off event, but a constant tradition in our department to collaborate with such people and institutes and build not just an academic, but also a cultural profile, a cultural public face for the department. And that's been a huge success as well, especially in the past 2 years.
This was one of the questions I wanted to ask you about the internationalization of Maltese, because in the past, scholars of Maltese have been mostly Maltese, but of course there are people out there who have studied Maltese and are scholars of Maltese in their own right, who are not Maltese, I gather. It's sort of comparative literature on one side, because you're bringing in guests who are perhaps going to talk about Arabic or other languages and compare and contrast with Maltese, but you've also got people who are actually foreigners interested in Maltese itself.
Yes, almost craving for Maltese in some cases, and it's interesting you bring that up, because we've got the Center for Maltese in the University of Bremen that's been set up in constant collaboration with our department, and people such as Manuel Mifsud and Albert Borch have dedicated a lot of time and energy to setting that up with Professor Stoltz from the University of Bremen and other people from that university. But also we're planning on setting up, but this is just an idea at present, on setting up an online Maltese course for second and third generation Maltese who have either lost or never gained a competence in Maltese. But they do hear their grandparents and sometimes their parents speaking this, for them, rather exotic language coming from the Mediterranean, and you get communities in the USA, in Australia, Canada, England, who are very interested. We're exploring this area just now, and we're finding a lot of interest in these young people in terms of studying their parents or their grandparents' mother tongue. So that's another initiative we'll be taking up in the coming years.
I'm sure that that's of interest from the scholarly point of view and from the historical point of view, but it could also be interesting from the financial point of view, because I'm sure that the people might be willing to actually pay for that service if they were in America and wanted to go online. So maybe we can actually have all sides of the picture represented, the scholarly side and perhaps also the financial side.
The financial side, yes, that definitely comes into the bargain, and I do envisage that there'll be a fee on this program. Yes, but I do believe as well that the interest in such an online program of studies would overcome the financial aspect and the costings, both from the university side and both from the people applying for it.
To what do you attribute the great enthusiasm that the undergraduate community, the people coming in from the sixth form, to the success of Maltese? Obviously, it's a compulsory subject up to O-level. To continue your studies, obviously, you have to have Maltese O-level. But beyond that, it's not a compulsory subject at intermediate or A-level. And yet, we seem to be seeing these large numbers.
Yeah.
Whereas in some Faculty of Arts departments, it hasn't been quite the same story. Have we got very good teachers out there?
I have two answers for that question. One is that it comes naturally. Maltese comes naturally to the Maltese person, doesn't it? And secondly, there are aspects of Maltese which are amazing when you get into their nitty-gritty. And you wouldn't expect Maltese to be so rewarding as you go along studying it in further and further depth. So what comes naturally to you is a bonus, but then there's this further bonus of realizing, of coming across aspects of your own language that you would never have thought about. For instance, in our BA program of studies, we get into aspects of linguistics that are marvelous for the Maltese speaker as well. And it's as though the student is penetrating further and further into an ability he already possesses. And that's fascinating in itself. And I would consider these two aspects of learning Maltese, it comes naturally, but also that there are surprises along the way constantly. I would consider these two aspects of learning Maltese as the key to its success.
when you get into any language further than the looking at it from a tool aspect, when you look into the philosophy of language, Maltese, it's so rewarding that one can imagine that, as you say, quite rightly, the deeper you delve, the more fascinating it becomes. And you were saying that you had a lot of master's students. What sort of things do they choose to actually research for their master's and then for their PhD, perhaps, a few of them?
Yeah. Well, they're mainly divided into the linguistics area and the literature area, as I was saying earlier. But then, within those areas, the subject breaks down into small areas of focus that become huge areas of research. And that's the way each and every MA works. You start with a rather ambitious proposal, but then you narrow that down to just a very small area of research, which will be rewarding in the long run. For instance, in linguistics, we have theses on dialects, on modality, on phonetics, phonology, on sociolinguistics aspects of Maltese. So it's mainly all the areas that come into any linguistics programs in any other university. And in literature, there are some very interesting theses on, for instance, literary aspects of Maltese that are found outside literature, for instance, in public speaking. And also, we're now into approaching literature with novel theories or recent theories of criticism, such as reader response, or a multidisciplinary approach to literature, seeing literature in relation to other texts, for instance, through its intertextual responses to the Bible. In some theses, these render very interesting results.
I know you also offer something occasionally for the Maltese student that has not perhaps had the opportunity to learn Maltese as a native speaker. And I think that's very important as well for us to be opening out to perhaps the foreigner who's living here and would like to have a basic knowledge of Maltese and then perhaps go on once they get caught up in the enthusiasm. Exactly. What are you offering along lines?
Yeah, well, to a certain point, it's pointless being a foreign resident in Malta not knowing the language. We put this in rather different words. We say, find your linguistic way into the Maltese culture and the Maltese people's way of life. So language is an intrinsic part of any culture in any country. Beyond that, we service foreign students and foreign residents in various faculties, not just our own Faculty of Arts. For instance, we've just set up a module in Maltese for QIT students in the foundation course for medicine. And we're in the process of setting up another intensive course, a summer course it will be, a 3.5-month course for medical students coming from the EU. So those will be two very interesting programs, one of them already running, the other is about to be set up. And there's also further interest in what we're doing from the dental department and the Faculty of Medicine. Apart from that, we also cater for Erasmus students. We provide 2 study units in elementary Maltese, and we've got another medical Maltese course in the degree plus, and we've got a lot of interests going on there. We had, besides the Maltese students who feel they need a strengthening in their medical Maltese, we've got 16 other students this year who are foreigners and following their medical course in the Faculty of Medicine and Surgery and attending for that course alone, the degree plus course. And we also cater for Erasmus students taking their course in radiography with yet another medical Maltese course in that area. So I've mentioned 4 Maltese courses for foreigners in just the medical area.
That's amazing. We could go on chatting about this department because it's so interesting, but unfortunately we don't have time. If anybody wants to know more about the department, about its staff, they can go on the University of Malta website, of course, and find it. I have with me today for University Matters on Campus FM, the head of the Department of Maltese, Dr. Bernard McCullough, and Professor Joseph A. Noll, head of the Department of Translation, Terminology and Interpreting Studies, both of which fall under the Faculty of Arts. So I'd better turn now, before the time passes, to Professor Aino, who's going to talk to us about the Department of Translation, Terminology and Interpreting Studies. Professor Aino.
Good morning, Tricia. Good morning to our listeners. Well, our department is quite young when compared to the Department of Maltese. We have just celebrated our 10th birthday, so it's a young department. But during these 10 years, I think it was more of a success story. And we marked this occasion by publishing an anthology of literary translation. And as I was saying in previous programs managed by you, Tricia, ours is a master's taught course. And it applies only for postgraduate students. So our students come from different departments, different faculties. To qualify to register to our courses, you need a first degree. Now, that first degree could be in languages, could be a BA, could be in pharmacy, in law. The important thing is that you have a degree. In fact, we had past students who hailed from the pharmaceutical section. We had lawyers, we had notaries, and these are today working either as translators or as interpreters within the EU institutions. I think the most important thing of our department, and it's something in common with the Maltese department, we train our translators and our interpreters to translate into Maltese. I must say that I'm a bit, disappointed or surprised that not many students from the Maltese department join our courses. Surprised because since Malta joined the European Union and since the Maltese language became the official and unofficial language with the others, I think a degree in Maltese offers so many opportunities in Brussels and Luxembourg with the EU institutions. I was sort of surprised that not so many from those who have a BA in Maltese do not join our courses, where they have hundreds of opportunities to work as translators or interpreters. But perhaps, I don't know, some of these students do not see translation or interpreting as a career which interests them. Anyway, so this is something in common we have with the Maltese department, that is, our students have to be very competent in Maltese. The translators have not only to be competent at the spoken level, but they have to be very competent at the written level. The same goes for our interpreters. The interpreters have to be very, very competent in speaking Maltese. Well, we offer languages, that is, English, French, German, Spanish, Italian. They have to translate or interpret from these languages into Maltese.
When your students apply, they start off doing everything, don't they? They do a bit of terminology and interpreting and translation. How does it work at the...
Not really. I mean, we have two courses, one leading to translation and terminology studies, the other one leading to interpreting studies. The skills are completely different from one to the other. We, in our curriculum, we insist on translation theory and terminology studies. Now, as regards terminology, we at the moment we are in process of digitizing Maltese terminological collections for special purposes, and even the creation of term bases for professional use. We're in contact. Now, for the first time in Luxembourg, there is a terminology unit, and there is a Maltese terminologist. We're in constant contact with him to see which terminological databases are important. For example, the unit in Luxembourg has just issued terminology studies regarding finance, banking, economics, geography, and we're working on this. Many of our students who do the second part of the course, then, who follow the second part of the course, that is writing a thesis, a dissertation, they work on this subject, on this aspect, terminology collections. But the department is currently participating in many international programs, and this is very important to for its profile. For example, we're following the European Masters in Translation, which is the main objective of this project, is to establish a quality label for university translation programs that meet, that require agreed standards in education all over Europe.
So that's a plus for your department.
Yes, we hope that by this year we get the registered EU trademark, the EMT logo, on our for the next 5 years for those who qualify, for those who graduate in translation studies. Then we're as well involved in the Optimale program, which is optimizing professional training, translator training in a multilingual Europe. This is an Erasmus academic network involving 70 partners from 32 different European countries, including 27 within the EU. And the most important thing is that the trained professional translators have a vital role to play in this process, that is, in the field of translation studies and in the field of terminology studies. Then, as regards interpreting, we're involved as well, interpreting and translation at the same time, we're involved in the European Legal Interpreters and Translation Program. That is, this is still not yet launched here. In other words, legal translation and court interpreting. Now, that's a very important subject, especially now that there is an EU directive which obliges national governments to provide at the national tribunals interpretation and translation services to all, to those who are facing, I don't know, criminal charges or who are offenders. Then we are as well involved in the European Masters in Conference Interpreting. This is specific to conference interpreting only.
Of course, there are various types of interpreting as well. It's not just one thing.
No. At the moment, I've just established a contact with the European Commission, the SCIC unit, the interpreting unit, and we're trying to launch as well virtual classes, that is, video conferencing, and I've contacted our video conferencing department, and we will be having our first tests sometimes next week or the near future, where our students will be in direct contact then with different other universities who provide these services, video conferencing. And that means our students are not only limited to the local assessors or the local evaluators, but they will be assessed as well by other foreign universities and the Commission or the Parliament. That's one of the latest initiatives we are doing. I forgot to mention I have to mention the staff, Professor Briffa and Professor Aquilina, who are both involved in the teaching of translation studies and terminology studies.
The job opportunities, as you're indicating, really, through what you've just been saying, are really various, aren't they? I mean, it's not just a matter of interpreting even a parliament, for example, the EU Parliament.
Yes,
there are so many other areas in which translators and interpreters can get into that the job opportunities are really great.
True. The numbers of students who are joining our department has increased lately. This year we had 35 translators, and the number of interpreters is much less. We can't go beyond 12, and at the moment we have 7. All our students have to pass an aptitude test, both translators and interpreters, before joining our courses. And yes, as I was saying, we have as well traineeships. This is another important aspect, that is quite a number of students go on a traineeship or apprentice stage, as we can call it.
Hands-on opportunities.
Mm-hmm. We have students who are working as translators in Luxembourg with the Parliament and the Commission. And interpreters will now, next September, will sit for the freelance test, which is very demanding. And hopefully they'll get through and we add to the number of interpreters, which is in dire need.
We need it for 2017, don't we?
Exactly.
And more to take up the presidency.
You prompted that. And the presidency, the Malta presidency, will definitely need, if, there's always an if and a but, if we are to conduct, if we're going to organize. I mean, there are so many council meetings and plenaries and whatnot. Now, the Malta presidency means that the chairmanship, the chair has to speak. We have to decide. I don't know if they decided or not so far.
I have a suspicion that Dr. McAuliffe here would be enthusiastic about everybody speaking Maltese on this occasion. But
at least the chair should speak Maltese. If we go back to speaking English, that would defeat, first of all, the policy of multilingualism in the EU, and second, it will defeat the idea of having Maltese as a national language. These things need planning. These things need lots of other things.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you both my guests, Dr. Bernard McAuliffe, head of the Department of Maltese, and Professor Joseph Aynor from the Department of Translation, Terminology and Interpreting Studies, for coming on the program to talk to us about their very, very interesting and dynamic department. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to University Matters on Campus FM. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.
Il-program li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġju plilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.